Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
So I am hearing that metaphysically, this is a time of big change, or big change is coming. How do we react to that? I know for a fact there is a lunar eclipse, which is going to be happening tomorrow, or maybe it's early tomorrow morning. And she knows a lot about that stuff. And she's an ancient wisdom energy healer. She helps you with transitions as a coach. She's a spiritual guide. And she's also with Dragonfly Passages. And she's Andrea Dragonfly. And she is back with us. Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good to have you back. Yeah, lunar eclipse. I'd have to look back at that, but I'm pretty sure that it's early in the morning. So like three starts at 3 o'clock in the morning. Here it is. Yeah. 3:02 a.m. tomorrow or tonight, depending on how you look at that.
Exactly.
And the full effect is like 5 o'clock in the morning. What does this mean? This whole lunar eclipse, how does it impact everybody?
You know, those are really great questions about, you know, how are we impacted by these planetary events is really what is happening. And believe it or not, Steve, we are constantly impacted by planetary events without our even knowing about it. So oftentimes people might be feeling inside their energy system, you know, impacted in ways they're like, wow, I just feel like everything's like heavy today, or, you know, oh my goodness, my life feels like it's falling apart, you know. So there's a lot of different feelings that we can experience through the energetic of the planetary alignment. Now, I'm going to say that I'm not an astrologer, but I've definitely been following astrology for a good chunk of my life. It's definitely something that I also like to look at when I am working with clients, just to kind of see who are they, you know, when they came into this world. Everybody's born at a certain time, at a certain place. And when we come into this world, we have our star chart. So it's the way the stars are organized above us from where we first come into the world. And so that star chart is going to actually show us, you know, how these different planets are going to be into, you know, are going to affect us throughout our lives. And so some people might have lives that are very focused on family, and some might have very focused on, you know, travel and mission and like all sorts of things, maybe some karma and self-individuality. And so we have planets that come into, our chart, and there are 12 houses of these charts. And I'm not going to give a full explanation. This could be found on the internet and whatnot, because I'm definitely not the person to really teach that kind of class. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that we have planets that are in these different houses, and that when the astrology lines up, we can feel really affected by them. And so we're coming into this really kind of, you know, interesting time with our full moon eclipse. So just even with the full moon, of course, we know that the moon and the sun are directly opposite from each other. When we have a new moon, the moon and the sun are directly in front of, or they're directly connected or next to each other. And then a solar eclipse, a new moon solar eclipse, is where the sun actually passes, where the moon passes between us and the sun, and that's where we see that eclipse from that point. So in this place, you know, we're having a really big planetary shift within, that's really kind of like the theme is really about change. And because it even happens to land on our election day tomorrow, It's going to come with some pretty big effects for people. And whether we have planets in these houses that are directly affected by what's happening or not, we're all going to feel it on a planetary, like we're all going to feel it on a collective level. Let's just say that. Because we can feel it individually, and we can also feel it collectively, right? And so what we're looking at coming up here is that, you know, our moon is actually coming into what is a sign, an astrology sign of Taurus. It's a very grounding sign. And it's really the sign of our first, it's kind of like our basic foundations of home and work and hearth and family. And but it's also our first place of where we, you know, it's about our values and whatnot. And so if we look at it from the standpoint of our nation, you know, a lot of us are going to be really at the effect of the, you know, elections. And how does the election really kind of match our values, right? So it's foundation work, too. And so there's going to be this really interesting kind of energy that we're going to have, because also what's happening at the same time is that there is a planet that is lining up exactly at the same time with the moon, which is Uranus. And Uranus is a planet that's really about, it's like the awakener. It's kind of like this more of the spiritual type of planet that kind of disrupts the energetic. It kind of has more like rebellious energy and revolutionary energy. It stirs up for change. It's an instigator of change. And so whatever is going to happen within the elections also has this play out on an astrological level too. And so there's different astrologers that are out there that we can look up on everything from, you know, just Googling some YouTube or just Googling some different ones and getting information or going on the YouTube to see what's happening. And many different people are saying, you know, the same thing, but in different ways. And so it's like finding out what is the one that speaks to you. And another thing too, Steve, is that astrology has been devalued for so long. Like, you know, it's, you know, we have astronomy and astrology certainly were happening a couple of thousand years ago. And looking at how these planets align, how we're affected by them. And so we've been talking for the last couple of months about how we bring in our imprints, you know, our energetic imprints have these, you know, these stories of trauma, of heart wounds, of energy blocks and whatnot. So when we're working also with the astrology and we have these big events like this, this is where these things can really start coming to the surface. And also as an energy healer and a transitions coach, this is the area of really being able to work with individuals as to seeing like, okay, yeah, you're really feeling the effect of this right now. Let's take a look at the stars. What's happening here? What's the greater story of the cosmos as to why you might be feeling this way, along with your own personal, you know, astrology of what did you come into this lifetime actually to learn? And so if we look at that, we come in for a series of lifetimes and not just the one, we recognize that we come in to overcome certain types of obstacles. And so this is definitely a way of looking at life, it's a perspective. It may or may not feel right for everybody, but it's a beautiful way to kind of get a much bigger idea of what our lives are really all about. And everything can kind of match up within our star chart. And so when we look at that type of thing, we can really work on the energetic. We can look at how it's really nice to be able to release this energy and also be able to fill that space. So whenever we release energy, we want to bring in the higher qualities that are going to help grow us to be strong, to be confident, to be more loving, more compassionate, whatever they are that are going to actually grow us forward. And so now we couple that up with a full moon. And so even with a full moon, the full moon is really the oldest ceremony from the beginning of humankind. You know, when people were first able to gather around the fire, and we're talking a pretty long time ago, Steve, but when the consciousness was really settling in and we were beginning to recognize that there is something greater than ourselves. We also had a lot of ancestral worship back in those days of acknowledging and recognizing all of those who came before us and the lessons that they've taught us. And, you know, we're coming out a week later from, you know, Halloween, also Souls Day, All Saints Day, and being really in that connective period of the ancestors. So this is also known as like a blood moon. And, the, you know, and we can also look at along the blood lineage line of the ancestors. And it's a time for us, and I'm just going to say that throughout all of the world, many people still practice fire ceremonies. So there are tens upon thousands of people doing fire ceremonies in different cultures, different countries. And they're really connecting in to the greater energy of being with the, being with not only our ancestors, but also being with the cosmic forces that allow us to let go of those parts of us that are no longer helpful anymore. Maybe it's the old patterns we've been talking about. Maybe it's the old heart wounds. And so these are other ways we can do this besides always just having an energy healer work with us. These are the ways that we can do this ourselves. But it's also the way that we can dream the future forward. So all of the indigenous would sit around the fire and they would dream a better world for their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren, their children's children and their children. And so because we're also at this incredible time of climate crisis, things are definitely shifting and changing. There is a huge disparity between the wealthy and the poor, you know, like we're feeling these really intense effects. It's a beautiful time to come to the fire and be able to release all of the fears, worries, doubts, our angers that we've been holding over, whether it's just a couple of days, hours, or throughout our lifetime even, right? And so this is where we can come together and sit at the fire and be connected. And of course, we don't all have fires to sit at anymore. Sometimes we have our fireplace, of course, for those who are able to have one of those. And not everybody even has a wood fireplace. Most people certainly have a gas fireplace because it's easy and, you know, much cleaner and very convenient, right?
Does it have to be a fireplace? Can it be, you know, let's call it some kind of fire? What about if you have a candle burning or something like that? Would that be acceptable?
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going, Steve. So yes, we can do it with a candle. So of course, you know, I mean, people have fire pits outside. I have a ceremonial fire pit that I do ceremony with community. I work with my plant medicines out there and whatnot. But we can also just bring it home. We can bring it into a space, whether we want to bring it into, you know, just a quiet place within our homes where we can light a candle. And what we do with fire ceremony is that, and this is one of the beautiful ways that the shamans of Peru, actually, this is one of the ones that I've learned, the fire ceremony of Peru, is that we use what would be called a spirit arrow, which is a stick usually you use sticks or whatnot that we could find outside if we're going to be doing an outside fire. And we use that wood because the tree really is an excellent receptor between the roots, you know, the roots go deep into the earth and plant us into our human life experience. And then the branches go up towards the sun and up into the cosmos, right? So we have this, you know, this very beautiful receptive energy that connects us both from above and below. And we can use that stick to be able to blow in our concern, our worry, our fear, that part of us that we want to shift or change even, like, and let it go to the fire so that we can grow ourselves forward. Now, when we do this within our home environment, we could do this maybe with a little toothpick or a little wooden match. So we can do it on a small scale, but you want to be able to have like a bowl. You want to be able to have something that when you set that on fire, you can definitely put it safely in a container, right? So that you're not putting yourself at any risk of getting that fire getting out of hand. What we would like to do with this is we take each worry, each concern, each area of struggle or conflict that is really pressing in our energy field at the time. You know, it could even be something about work. It could be with other people. It could be our own ability to, like, be creative or find the answer to the problem that we've been sitting with for however long that might be. And we could just ask to release that energy that we've been holding around it. And we blow it into the stick, into the match, into the toothpick, because, Steve, our breath is our vibration and our frequency. It's that part of us that is operating on a certain level throughout the planet, throughout the cosmos. And so when we put it into the stick or the match and we set it aflame, it's really on a, and we can also call it on a magical level. It's really taking that out into the greater universal forces and energies to free us from that, to release that energy.
So, Andrea, we have a, I think, a really good question about the fire ceremony. We're going to jump off for a second. Quick break. We'll come right back. If somebody wants to connect with you, how do they do that?
So right now it's Andrea at dragonflypassages.com. And that is my email, and that's the quickest way for us to connect. So thank you, Steve.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, quick break. And coming back, we're talking about fire ceremonies. And we started with the lunar eclipse. I don't know if we're going back to that. You never know. But we'll be right back. Hang tight.
Celebrating Bubby's 70th birthday. 7 months after her birthday. Saying I don't to more postponements. And I do to each other. The life-changing vacation? Just a little later in life. And the taste of some home cooking that's been simmering for months.
Sorry, I think this one's mine.
Oh, my bad.
For all the things that you've been looking forward to getting back to, we've got a plane for that. Visit JetBlue.com for everyday low fares.
Parallels Desktop, the number one choice of Mac users to run Windows on Mac. Windows applications run effortlessly. Parallels Desktop is seamless and fast. Whether you need to run a Windows program, develop or test, game, or just looking for the ultimate flexibility without having to restart, you're completely covered with Parallels Desktop for Mac. Fast, powerful, and easy.
Introducing Venture X, Capital One's new travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars, and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel, and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hi, I'm Randy, and this is Dave.
We're the founders of Bombas, the most comfortable socks in the history of feet.
So comfortable, we sold and donated millions of pairs.
To sell and donate a lot of socks, we became obsessed with comfort.
We reinvented the sock from the ground up, adding comfort innovations along the way.
It worked. People tried them, loved them, told their friends about them.
Helping us sell and donate millions of pairs.
Try them now at bombas.com/comfy and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/comfy.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
And we're jumping on back. Excuse me. Wow, there we go. That's never happened before. She's with us and she knows all about making change in your life because change is happening now. She is a very, very plugged in person when it comes to energy healing, and she's a ceremonialist and an ancient spiritual guide as well. Andrea Dragonfly is here, and we are getting, we got here, Easton, Pennsylvania. Linda checks in at instantfeedbacksteve@gmail.com and says, I love your talk about the fire ceremony. I've heard that you need to call in spirit or the universe to help. What should we say in doing that?
Great question, Linda. Absolutely. So when we want to work with these energies, we talk about we as in just those who are creating, you know, the energetic to be able to put this energy forward, is it's always best to create what's called sacred space. And sacred space is kind of like putting a bubble around you that allows you to be in the highest helpful energies. Because if we don't take our own precautions to protect ourselves. We talked a couple of episodes prior about how there's these other types of denser energies that are not helpful. You know, they could definitely want to come in and participate and play with us, and they're not really allowed here. This is not a place for them. So what we want to do in really with all belief systems, we look at the four directions. And the four directions are really, even within the Abrahamic traditions, they're still there. This is like the essence of life. This is how we are even alive as human beings, is that we have the fire. And different traditions are going to place these elements in different places. And so within a South American perspective, the fire would be in the north because they live in the south and the equator is at the north. As North Americans, we put the fire in the south because we're clearly in the north. And then the earth would then be in the north for North Americans, and the earth would be in the south for those in the southern hemisphere. And then different traditions may put the east and west. So then we have air, and air oftentimes can be seen blown from the east, coming from the west and being blown to the east. But others may think that air, water should be in that. So it's really about connecting to what you think is right. What do you feel? So we look at, we connect earth, air, fire, and water. And this is how we are even within our own human vessels. You know, I have the fire of our existence. We have the water within our bodies, the earth of our bodies, and the breath of life, right? And so we have the combination within ourselves. So we create that, and we also call in the above and the below to protect us. And so the consciousness of the above, the depths of the below, and we can also think about it as Father Sky, Mother Earth types of things. So there's just many ways, many different traditions, and it's really about connecting and to find what's best for you. But asking for protection, asking to keep all low energy out, to listen to your prayer, to be able to take your prayer and really expand it out and bring to you the greater good of your evolution, right? The evolution of your heart, of your mind, of your soul. And so this is what we're really looking at that helps us connect into these transitions, because we're energy beings. And when we recognize that we're energy beings and the greater energetic of all this other vast amounts of energy that's around us, we can really shift and change and create our lives. So, and there's many ways to do that, and there's many ways for us to see that, and it's about mindsets, and it's about really kind of overcoming some of the blockages. But the fire ceremony is a great way for us to shift mindsets and overcome these blockages. And so there's definitely that element. So, Linda, that's a great question, because we do want to do this within a conscious space. That sacred space is calling in the consciousness and calling in protection, just to keep all kind of like, you know, unhelpful energies out, those extra chaotic energies that don't really need to be in that space, and kind of just create a nice little bubble around us. And then also bringing it back and looking at, we're doing this, you know, we have this eclipse. Eclipses are very powerful energies. So the power of the eclipse is almost like a mass shockwave that comes in and just kind of expands out throughout, you know, the energy of the planet, also out into the cosmos. And it really, you know, has a reverberation that lasts about 6 months until the next eclipse cycle begins. We usually have them 6 months apart from each other, and they'll fluctuate between summer, winter, and spring and fall and whatnot. And so, you know, the next eclipses that are going to come again are going to be at late spring of next year. And so using that extra power, that extra, like, shockwave to really bring in what it is that you're calling for your highest self. And again, we're working with the moon, we're working with Uranus, we're working with, of course, it's opposing the sun, which is in Scorpio. And Scorpio is a very watery, very mysterious sign in the zodiac. And it also can come with a lot of deep secrets. and revelation. So this could be, and so it could be secrets that, you know, it could even be within our subconscious that we're unaware of within ourselves that can begin to bubble up and be like, oh, I'm learning this about myself. I can finally find words or whatnot for me to identify what this even is for me and just recognizing, hey, this really exists in me. And maybe I'd never paid any attention to it before.
You know what? So, we have just a minute left. But I wonder if people wrestle with this. Can you do any wrong at the beginning of that ceremony? Like in Linda's question, you know, she was wondering about what you need to say, calling in spirit and you know, higher being, universe, however you want to phrase it. Is there anything you can do wrong there in setting the intention and the tone of the ceremony?
So really, you can really do no wrong if your intention is in the highest good. Mm. You know, calling in these directions and really calling in, it's like a prayer. It really is praying. It's a prayer. It could be any type of way to just say, bearing our soul, bearing our desires. But again, what we really want to do is that if we're letting go of something, we want to replace it with something else that's in our better, helpful, like highest good, right? So we don't want to just let go of stuff and leave it open. We want to put in there what we want, right? So, but again, I mean, we could talk about that. We can absolutely talk about that in another episode because this is definitely not enough time to do that. But at this very moment, give your heart, you know, prayer out there and just say, this is what I really want. Please hear me. And it's just like talking to God in a certain way, but we're using the elements to really support us in that, and we're using the power of the planetary alignment and what's happening right now to really give an extra, you know, super kind of kick into the world.
I love it.
So that's the biggest thing.
So yeah, set the positive intentions. We have the lunar eclipse coming up in literally hours away. And I know that you do fire ceremonies and so much more. Once again, your email address, Andrea, somebody wants to connect?
It's Andrea@dragonflypassages.com.
Love it. Andrea, always a pleasure talking with you. And you're an inspiration, plus we learn so much along the way, too.
Great. It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the business capital of the world, this is the Podcast Business News Network.
Of course my kid's in the right car seat. Well, I think he is.
Yeah, my kid's in a booster seat. He was ready to move up. He is ready, right?
Her car seat looks like the right size.
There are probably rules on when to move up to a booster seat, aren't there?
Rear-facing, forward-facing? I think I have it right.
Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your children in the right car seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
I know my child's in the right car seat, or else I wouldn't get in the driver's seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.